welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Right. I'm going to talk about a word this morning. And this word is an absolutely awesome word. Okay? This word brings healing into people's lives. This word restores family. This word brings freedom from alcohol addiction. It brings freedom from drug addiction. It brings a whole health and well-being to your body. It brings joy. This word brings peace. This word brings restoration and relationship with God that you never thought was possible. And this word is also considered sometimes rather old-fashioned and out of place. You think, how could a word that gets you all that be old-fashioned and out of place? Well, I'm going to show you this morning, and I'm going to show you why this word, whenever you hear this word, you should feel excitement in your heart. You should feel kind of a, yeah, come on, that's good. Because this word is a good word. And I'm deliberately not telling you what it is. I'm going to in a minute. This word has power. If people truly took hold of this word in Scarborough, in Yorkshire, in our region, we would see a nation change. It's true. Just this word. If they truly took hold of what is in this word. And also, very important, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, understand what this word really is and means. Because it's often misunderstood, especially in the Christian world, which is why sometimes people think like, well, just keep that out of the way for a minute. The word is repentance. I wonder if any of you have guessed. Okay, let's have a look at Jesus using the word. And I want to show you how he was using it in a completely different way, really, to what we often think of it as. If you've got a Bible, and don't worry if you haven't, I'm going to go to chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew. You're not in the spirit, in the flow here. From that time on, it says here, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was his basic core message. Jesus, the God of love, Jesus, the God of peace, Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the miracle worker. His core message was repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? That's that word, repent or repentance. But here, he's saying, with this word repent, he's got the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right in front of your face. It's near, it's so close, it's there for you now. Okay, and it's important that when we understand that when Jesus talked about the kingdom, he wasn't talking about some, historical establishment. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven as something that is alive and something that is now. Okay, what is heaven? Well, in heaven there is freedom. In heaven there is forgiveness. In heaven there is peace. In heaven there is everything you need for this life and more. And Jesus was saying, here it is, it's right at hand. How do you get hold of it? Repent. Well, what does repent mean? I mean, often we hear it portrayed as, and it's not that this is wrong, but we're going further. Okay, but what we often hear it as portrayed as, it's we're going our own way, doing our own thing, and we turn around and we follow God and do his thing. Okay, that's how we often, you must have heard of that definition of repentance, yes? At least give me some nods, yeah. Blah, 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 rhubarb. You know, something. Hallelujah. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the thing is, the word there, repent, another bit of Greek for you, okay? You all right? Bit of Greek. Metaneo is the Greek word. Now, when a Greek person in the biblical times used that word, they didn't think, in any way, what I just gave you, that definition, that's not what the word means. The word means to exercise the mind. The word means to think, to comprehend, and to change your mind. And now, as we see, this is absolutely essential because what Jesus is saying is get a new understanding. get a new mindset. Let me show you something that is different, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to change the way you think, Jesus says, using that word. Or that's the word that's written here in the gospel. He's not just saying, you know, wail and get on the floor and we moan and cry out to God and be full of sorrow. Oh, woe is me, woe is me. Because he knew he was bringing the answer to it.
That's right.
You know, Judas wailed and cried and called out, but he didn't change his mind about what he believed. He wanted Jesus to be the leader of a revolution. But that wasn't the kind of revolution that Judas had in mind. Jesus' revolution was far more encompassing. So he's saying, change the way you think, because the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. And I bet if you ask most people, they're not going to think that way. So repentance. Yes, sin, to use another unpopular biblical word. Sin, what is it? It's doing things your own way. It's the Frank Sinatra song. Sung by many more modern singers now, but I did it my way. The most sad song you can hear sung at a funeral. Because Jesus came to show us his way. Yeah? But coming to God is more than going from your way and giving up the things that you're doing that are wrong and going God's way. That way sort of brings you to a zero balance in your bank account. But God doesn't want to give you just a zero bank account. He's about crediting your bank account. He's about putting something positive in. So it's not just a turning around and, right, I've now got a different set of laws to follow. It's about coming into a whole new kind of life. Amen? It's interesting. This was just the message God gave me this morning. He wants you to hear it. You know? He's not interested when you do things wrong if you cry about what you've done wrong for half an hour. Because he has dealt with all the wrong things that you've done, will do, will even think of. They're all paid for at the cross already. He just wants you to say, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. And he says, yes, I do. And some of you go to God and you say, Lord, I've done it again. Forgive me again. And he says, what do you mean again? Because when he forgives you, it's gone. It's wiped clean. It's no longer there. It's completely eradicated. It doesn't exist. That sin has gone. God says, I will remember it no more. He doesn't say, I've forgotten it. Because if someone forgets something, there's always the chance that they'll remember it at some point. God deliberately remembers it no more. He's got a rather more powerful mind than we have. He can just decide, I will remember that no more. It has been paid for. It is done. It is finished. You are free, my child.
Yeah.
So there's no need to be wailing and going for the whole long tears and snotty noses and all that stuff. The only thing is, you see, with repentance, is that what's wailing and sorrow and crying is so, and that kind of repentance is actually the fruit of repentance rather than repentance. Because if you change your mind and start to believe what the Bible says and you find out that God is absolutely awesome, you find out that God is holy and that God is righteous and that he does love you more than anything else in the world, that his thoughts to you are more than the grains of sand on the seashore, when you start to suddenly change your mind and say, actually, that's right, then the response can be, oh my goodness, I'm so unworthy in what I've done. But then immediately, God comes in and says, no, you're not worthy, but my child, I've made you worthy.
Amen, amen,
I'm going to put you in a place of holiness and righteousness. You could never get there, but I'm just going to put you there.
Yes.
This is why Jesus came. This is what the message is that Jesus is giving when he says, repent. Change your mind about the way you've been thinking. A lot of the people that he was speaking to were people that had got the list of commandments and laws. They were the Jewish people. And some of them, especially the Pharisees, for example, were inventing new rules and new regulations in their zealousness to, you know, follow the law. They'd gone way over the top. In fact, they were the most people that Jesus got the most cross with, as they were placing an impossible burden of self-righteousness onto people. But Jesus comes in and says, look, let me show you another way. You've not got to work your way into the kingdom. You've not got to live such a good life that you're acceptable to him. Let's change your mind. You getting this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, if we then move on from that little bit that we just talked about, just go down a little bit further in Matthew 4, verse 23, what happens is he's brought his basic message and then he begins to demonstrate his message. This is why I had Kate and Chris come up. You know, what were they doing? Yeah, we're demonstrating to you what the kingdom is like. The kingdom, like Chris, is experiencing God in your body. You know, sometimes it's a feeling, sometimes it's a tingle, sometimes it's warmth, sometimes it's burning fire. More excitingly, sometimes it's complete healing and restoration. That's there. That's what's in the kingdom of God. There is no sickness in heaven. Okay? There's no poverty in heaven. There's no abuse in heaven. There's no addiction in heaven. And if these things aren't in heaven, Jesus says, well, the kingdom of heaven is right at hand for you now. You can live in the kingdom of heaven right now. And he's not just speaking to those Jewish people of that first century. He's speaking to us this morning. Even some of you that have been Christians a while or a long time. And he's saying, listen, I need you to repent. I need you to change your mind and realize the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not far off. It's not something that you're working towards. It's not something that you're hoping to break through into. It's there right now, just on the other side of obedience, as Jared was talking the other day. You just do what he says to you, and the miracles open up. Hallelujah. For Chris to get healed, there had to be the obedience in somebody saying, come forward for healing. Okay, that wasn't much of a thing to do in a service in church. That's, we're used to that kind of stuff. But somebody still had to do it. It's a little bit more dangerous when you're on the street and you end up praying for people on the street. But when you respond to what God is saying, it releases the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus then demonstrates. Jesus, in verse 23, went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Okay? Why is it good news? Because it's not you dirty, scummy little worm, God is going to judge you. It's you wonderful, amazing human being, repent, change your mind about what you've understood about God and the way you've understood your life, and come into this wonderful kingdom. So it's good news. Hallelujah. There is bad news. The bad news, if you don't come into the kingdom, God hasn't got a place for you. He's making everything available to you. He's making everything available to everyone. But you have to take hold. You have to repent. Or the bad news is, you don't get this package from God. You don't get this amazing delivery of the kingdom into your life. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and here, really importantly, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. You see, because often, even those, if you don't know the Bible that well, you'll know that Jesus healed some people. There aren't actually that many accounts of the specific healings in the Gospels. The ones that are given as examples because teaching can be drawn from them. But Jesus healed, it says here, every disease and sickness. But the important thing was, they had to come to him. One of the reasons Jesus died and came back from the dead was so that the Holy Spirit could come. Because without the Holy Spirit, we would still be forced to go to one place on the planet Earth to approach Jesus. Now, by his Spirit, he lives in every Christian, in everyone who believes. And so you can go to any Christian and get exactly what Jesus was doing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who heals people, you or Jesus? So is it any different to first century? Does he live in you, if you know him? So is he going to do anything any different to what he did then? No, the message will be the same. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the actions will be the same. Here is healing. Here is restoration. Here is freedom. Here is your life getting turned around. Of course, you have to continue to choose to live in the goodness of what he gives you. If somebody gives you an amazing birthday present, you know, say you get this really cool, I don't know, fashionable leather jacket. All right? It makes you look awesome. Makes you look, rah. Or if you're a woman. And you love this jacket. You think, that is fantastic. That is a brilliant jacket. Wow, thanks for giving that for my birthday. I'm going to hang that in my wardrobe for years and years and years. It's awesome. You're not going to get any benefit from the jacket, apart from a faint, gorgeous, fresh leather smell coming out of the wardrobe. Unless you're a vegetarian, and then you find it disgusting. But this illustration isn't for you. A leather jacket is meant to be worn so that you can look gorgeous, gentlemen. So you get this present and you put it on and you wear it and you use it and you experience it and you enjoy it. And this is what it's like with the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like with what Jesus gives us. It's not meant to be something we've read about once or even read about several times. It's not a Bible that we keep on the shelf in a room or even in a box in the attic. It's about an experience of the Word and the Spirit coming into your life that completely turns your life around and makes you rather gorgeous. Because Jesus says, you're absolutely wonderful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Word of God says. So in other words, you're gorgeous in Him. He made you gorgeous. He doesn't look at anybody and think, oh dear, I didn't get that one quite right. I wish I'd spent more time on the nose. I mean, we see a different image portrayed on in the world's media. That's what the world's media is saying. This is what's attractive, gorgeous and handsome. They're wrong. We are being brainwashed into something that God never intended. Beautiful is natural. Yes? No matter what you look like, you are beautiful. But we get our minds twisted, even those of us probably were steeped in the Bible, to think that a certain way of looking is more beautiful than something else. It's not. Everything is beautiful. Everything is fearfully and wonderfully made, whatever shape you are. Although you might have added a few bits to God's creation. Or taken a few bits off if you've been under the knife. Hallelujah. This whole package is for us to wear and to enjoy. But also, unlike the leather jacket, we can give it away to others. Whereas when you give your leather jacket away, you've no longer got it. But when you give away the kingdom, it increases within you. The more you give away what God gives, the more it increases. It's like you expand on the inside. The more you give away, the more you give to God. You know, whether it's your time, whether it's your leather jacket, whether it's whether it's your finances, the more you give, the more you will receive. Because the Word says quite clearly, with the measure that you give is the measure that you will receive. If you're a bit miserly, what you receive will be a bit miserly. Now, the good news is a bit miserly from God is still pretty good. But, you know, why not access everything that the Lord has for you? You know, if you're struggling financially, what do you cut first? Never cut giving, whether it's giving into the church or giving to other people, because that's like cutting off the spout of supply. And that's like saying, oh, I'm going to cut this off because that's where everything's coming from. You feel like everything's going out, but it's not. It's actually the flowing in pipe. Hallelujah. It's testimony after testimony. We've just been mightily blessed, haven't we, Kate? If you go around the back of the Stephen Joseph Theatre at the moment, you'll see there a brand new 3-year-old, but brand new to us, a brand new car. And we bought that this week. Last Sunday, I had no concept of buying a car this week. I had a car that needed repairing and was very, very poorly. And it's been very, very poorly quite a few times this year. But I had no concept of buying a new one. We had no money. There was definitely no money to buy a car. And then during this week, I think it might have even been Monday. It must have been Monday or Sunday even. A couple in this church came to us and said, God has told us to give you this money to buy a car. I thought, oh, that's exciting. And we looked at the money And if you've been around for a while, about 3.5 years ago, yes, really that long, up at Lamplugh, we were praying one time, and they realised I needed a new car at that point too. That was another one. And so they said, well, what sort of car do you want? And I said, well, I really like those new shape Honda Civics. And we looked at that, and so I've been waiting, and that's what this new one is, by the way. But when we looked at the money that was being given to us this time, well, that's not going to be enough. But we went and looked at them anyway. And then over the course of this week, two other very generous people, without us, you know, that first couple came to us with no prompting. Although apparently I did say to them once that, and I really was genuinely joking. It was when another car had broken down yet another time. And I think they'd said something like, you know, what can we do for you? And I said, well, you can buy me a new car if you like. But it really was just one of those stupid flipping comments. Because I was fed up with it. And so other money came in during the week that meant we went back and we actually bought a better one than the one we'd even been looking at, which was already out of our price range because more had come in. So God is awesome. But I tell you that because it... Oh dear, this sounds awful. I sound like I'm being proud and I didn't really want to go down that route. But it is in giving that you receive. You know? Because even with that new car, you know, it's new car, pride and joy and don't mess it up and even cleared the bird muck off it, you know. You know what my wife got me to do on the first day we had it? Go and buy fish and chips. Do you know what? It still smells of fish and chips. New car. Yeah, fish and chip breaker. But you know, I know that God's given us that car, but it's going to be, now we give that car and we, you know, give people lifts and we take people places and you sow it into the work of the car, the kingdom, you know, you go places doing stuff. In that car, that's why God gives it to you, so it can be used for his glory. But he likes to give his children nice things as well along the way. So he didn't just give us a clapped out old thing, it's rather a nice one. Hallelujah. I'm getting distracted here, but it is nice. So Jesus went around healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. He healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region right across Judea followed him. Amen? This is exciting. The big crowds are beginning to gather. Jesus is putting on a show. And he is putting on a show. There's nothing wrong with putting on a show. He was purposely... drawing the crowds. He was purposely drawing people towards him because he was demonstrating this is how awesome the king is, the king kingdom is. He was going to reveal that he was the king of that kingdom and that the kingdom comes from the words king and dom or dominion. And it was to be the dominion of him as king. And his rule, his reign is good. He was just demonstrating it there in that passage and he hasn't changed. If you can turn to Christ today, or even if you've been a follower of his for a while, if you will repent, God will change your life. Hallelujah. That's why you get baptized when you get born again. You say, well, how's that connected if you've not heard this story before? Well, I'll tell you how it's connected. When you get a baptism service is actually a funeral service. And many churches have the pool of water at the front of the church, and it even looks a bit like a grave. Not all do, but some do. There's not one here. Shame, really. Ask the SJT if they'll install it for us. But you have a pool, but it's like a grave, because when you get baptized, you go down into the water. It's symbolic that you are dead to your past. You've changed your mind about the way you used to live. You've changed the way you think, and you're dying to all of that. You go under the water. We hold you under about 15 minutes. Just to test your faith. No. No, you go down and you come back up again. And you're coming back up, and it's a picture of Jesus rising from the grave into the new life. Because you are rising from the grave and you're coming into this new kingdom life. Because you've repented, you've changed your mind. And now you're demonstrating that you've changed your mind by getting baptized. When the church first began, right at the beginning of the church, it's in the book of Acts. And people started saying, well, how do we get to know this Jesus? How do we get saved? And Peter has to stand up and say, well, it's very easy. You've got to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It says you've got to change your mind about the way you've been living, about what you've been believing, about the way you've understood the world. Change your mind and come and see what God has. Amen. When you change your mind about who God is and how you find out how awesome he is, often the next reaction is, oh my goodness, what a sinner I've been by not following him. But it's the fruit of repentance. It's not actually the repentance. If someone doesn't wail, it doesn't mean they're not saved. Hallelujah. But even when you are saved, there could be just times where the awesome love of God comes upon you and you could just weep in his presence because you just realize, oh, wow, he's loved me so much. He's so awesome, so wonderful. So Jesus preaches the news, and he demonstrates the news. And then when he's been demonstrating, he sits them down and shows them what the change of mindset is. And he preaches what's probably the most famous sermon in the world, even today, often called the Sermon on the Mount, because he probably sat down. If you go to Israel today, they'll take you to like a raised hill, which is by Capernaum on the sides of Lake Galilee. And that's very likely where Jesus sat down and taught the crowds. He got his disciples around him and the crowds gathered on the slope and he began to teach them more about the kingdom. But he hasn't changed his message. He's still saying repent, you see. He's still saying change your mind. He's saying here is a changed way of thinking. The Sermon on the Mount, which we'll have a look at in a minute, the Beatitudes is another name for it, which means like the blessed things. It's not another set of laws. It's not another set of regulations for people to follow. This is the mindset change. He's saying, look, this is the way to think. And all of the Beatitudes, all of these sermons, let's just see how we get into it. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And all of them start with this word, blessed. Interestingly, their culture was the opposite of ours. You notice it says he sat down. Because in his culture, if you were engaged in a debate or a discussion with somebody, you would stand. So if he was going to discuss something with his disciples, he would be standing with them. But when it was time to teach an authority, he would sit down. It was a sign of authority to be sat down, which is why it says that Jesus is sat down in heaven. It's a position of authority. If you look at ancient history, or even medieval history, when you approached the king wouldn't stand. The king would be sat on the throne to show that he had authority. He didn't need to stand in your presence, and you would stand in the king's presence. So that's why he sat down. He was demonstrating his authority as a rabbi, as a teacher. So he's backing up his message of repent. With this is coming with to you with authority. Because he's not really given the full revelation of who he is yet. He's just a teacher to them, a teacher that's working miracles. Some of them are getting inklings, some of them are beginning to understand, is this the Messiah? Is this the one who... You know, they're probably questioning it. But most people are there because he's put on a show. So he began to teach them. Now this word blessed, that's another one of these sort of interesting words really. Because it's kind of put blessed in most Bibles because really the word is happy. But it sounds almost too simple to put happy. Happy will you be. Happy, happy. But I mean, there is more. It's richer than happy as well. There's a richness in it, and a real. It's almost like there'll be a continuous fulfillment. I'm just grabbing my glasses so I can read the Bible. Actually, read my notes. So here we go. Look, blessed. If you read blessed in the Amplified edition of the Bible, which sort of expands on it, it will tell you that it means happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous with joy and satisfaction in God's favor. A joyous happiness in the revelation of God's grace and favor. It's quite a rich word. Yeah? So blessed, happy are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed. Fortunate is another meaning of the word, which is kind of a strange word to think about, isn't it? Happy, I mean, happy comes from the word hap, which means to be lucky. And that gets you all a bit worried if we start talking about being lucky. It means favorable circumstances. But you could almost legitimately translate this as lucky are those who are poor in spirit. Well, some of you are squirming. But the difference between the word happy and what we have, the word hap, as I say, comes from luck, is our happiness, our fortuitous circumstances come from God's favor rather than just luck. Luck is just a random roll of the dice. We have no random roll of the dice, those of us that know the Lord. You have permanent sixes in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Every dice roll comes up the best. There is no luck. You have God's favor. So you're God's favor P rather than hap P. I don't think that made sense, but never mind. I'm nearly finished here. Don't laugh. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now this sounds so one of those sort of really pious and sort of ethereal things, but what Jesus is saying is, you know, so lucky. You're so lucky, you're so fortunate, you're so blessed, you're so happy, you're so full of joy if you're poor in spirit. And the word poor there is a word that doesn't just mean not much money. It doesn't just mean you've got a Fiat Panda. Sorry. It's because we just got rid of a Fiat Punto. But it actually means more. It means destitute. It means having absolutely nothing. And the word, the Greek word, is a shame because you're so poor. You know, you're nothing. So what is Jesus talking about? Notice it doesn't say blessed are the poor. There is no blessing in being poor. All right, that's a misunderstanding. It's not blessed are the poor. Anybody who's poor, who doesn't have enough money, who is destitute, like the real meaning of this word, they don't feel blessed. And it would be a travesty for the church to say to someone who's in destitution, oh, you're really blessed. They're not. They're in need of being given to. That's why you're there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, poor in their, it's like in your inner man. Now what Jesus is saying, blessed are you who've repented, blessed have you who have changed your mind and realized that without God, you're in complete deprivation. You're in complete destitution. You are so poor. Why are you blessed? Because if you've realized that without God you are nothing, then Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is realizing I am not the most important thing in the universe. I'm not even 10th or 100th. But the most important thing in the universe is God himself. Not what I think about me, but what he thinks about me. And he thinks good things about you and about me. And I need to change my mind and start listening to what he says, understanding what he says. Because without him, I am nothing. I am destitute. I am poor in spirit. You see, when this crowd gathered and they were following him, Jesus isn't just holding up a command or unobtainable things. He's saying, look, repent. You can be happy. You can live a lucky life of rolling sixes. Just change your mind. Because if you realize you're destitute, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I mean, the this sermon that Jesus gives, you could preach for hours and hours and hours, and you'll be relieved to know I'm not going to this morning. Let's just have a look at a couple of other bits. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's a similar thing. It's not just talking about those who mourn because they've lost someone. It's also talking about those who mourn because they realize that the life they have is dead. It really is. You know, you talk about people searching for meaning or trying to find understanding. They say, what is it? It's kind of a emptiness. We all know stories from magazines of people who've got loads of money that say, but still my life feels empty. But when you realize it's empty, when you realize you're poor and you change your mind, then you will be comforted. That's what it's really talking about. Of course, God brings comfort to those who mourn in reality as well. You know, this awesome experience, actually. When my dad died in 2007, it was an incredible loss. It was real shock, you know. I expected him to go on for years. He was very, very healthy. And he died very, very suddenly to us. And, you know, it was like incredible. But I just remember his funeral service was a celebration, and it really, really was. I still miss him. Every now and again, you'll smell something or you'll see a photograph, you know, and I might even cry. But I've never, ever experienced bereavement or grief. You know, I've experienced great sadness, but always God has brought that comfort in. Because in heaven, there's no loss, you see. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In heaven, there is no intense grief that sends you down into depression. It's not that it's wrong to grieve. There's a process of grieving and letting go. But it's when that becomes, you know, life-consuming. Perhaps that's what I'm trying to say, rather than that there's no grief. But there really is comfort. You really just, you feel like you're being lifted. It's like being on drugs. And not that I regularly do that, you understand. My main experience of that is in hospital, being wheeled to the operating theatre, and that feels like you're kind of floating, you know. Hey, I'm going for an operation. You know, it's a bit like that sometimes with the stuff they've been pumping into you. Well, actually, it can be like that with God. When you're in a desperately sad situation, you can feel that pumping in of the Holy Spirit. But it's not like drugs which deaden the mind. It's like an encouragement, and you feel more alive. You know, and if ever you do come across those times when somebody you really love has died, you know, someone who's been an example to you all of your life, like your father, like mine was, afterwards you do get times of just feeling like, but then that comfort comes. You turn to the Lord. It's amazing. We'd only been up here a year when he died, and it was kind of devastating to have moved away from him and then him to die. You sort of feel, you know, I could have gone down the route of, I've been robbed of a year. I hadn't been robbed. He'd come up here and we'd had a good time and he'd seen the church up here and he'd seen Scarborough a couple of times. And, you know, it just, God helps you to see the reality rather than the unreality that sadness and depression and grief can lead you into. I don't know if this is for somebody this morning because it wasn't really where I was going. But if you, you know, if you have a trouble with something like that, the answer really is Jesus. The answer really is repentance. It was a bit strong to someone who's mourning. No, because you're thinking about the old meaning of wailing and getting on the floor and woe is me-ing. Actually, repentance is a change of mind. I'm going to see this God's way. And when you see it God's way, you think, yeah, I'm turning from my sin. I'm going God's way. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to have a zero balance. He wants you to be in credit. It's not just a question of getting washed clean of all your sins, although it very much is not just getting washed of sins and past stuff, it's then being taken into a place of glory. You were in the black. You're not going to be at zero. You're going to be in the red. No, it's the other way around. Actually, you're going to be in the red because the black was the sin and the red is under the blood of Jesus.
Well done.
Oh dear, I better stop, hadn't I? There's so much. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the gentle in the spirit, not the proud and arrogant. Blessed are the meek. Who are the meek? The people that believe what God says. Not somebody who thinks they're a worm. That's not what God says. So that's not humbleness or meekness. A meek person is someone that thinks, I'm really kind of good. God has made me wonderful. God has made something good here. Yeah, and that could sound proud or arrogant, but it's not if you're doing it in the sense of, this is what God has made me. It's not going around saying it. It's not, I'm better than you are. Because God made him too, so I don't win. But the meek are the people that say, I'm changing my mind about myself. I'm not weak. I'm not a loss. I'm not a no-hoper. I'm not no good. I am restored in him. I'm somebody worth knowing. I'm a precious person. I'm loved. I'm totally accepted by God. Wow. I know I make mistakes sometimes and I do things that I should have done that. But still, God's there for me. Still, God's ready to... He's more ready than you are. He's waiting for the turn. He's waiting for the change of mind. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are going for it. Those who are desperate for righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness is just doing it God's way. It's changing your mind. Can you see how really this whole thing is Jesus just outlining what repentance is? It's not a set of rules. It's not a set of regulations that are just like, it is a way to change your thinking. Amen. Jesus is saying this morning, you can see the kingdom of heaven right now. You can experience and feel the kingdom of heaven right now. You can know Jesus Christ in your life right now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How is this going to happen? You repent. That's it. This never was supposed to be hard. Jesus made it really, really easy. Amen? I think we'll just have the worship team up. It'll take about another 4 minutes and then we're going to finish. Let's just have the worship team up. Let's stand for a minute, can we?
Hallelujah. So in a few minutes, we're going to be free to go downstairs and enjoy a cup of coffee and go to the restaurant and all that stuff. But let's just spend a few minutes here with Jesus, because we know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. If you guys could just play something quietly in the background, that'd be great. A song that perhaps we could go into to finish in a minute. But first of all, I want to address those in the room that already know Jesus. Okay? And just as the band play, I want you to ask God, because you know him, is there anything I need to change my mind about? Is there stuff I've been resisting and I've been holding on to that actually is not what it says in the Bible? Often it's stuff like low self-esteem. Self-esteem is one of those funny things, because as we saw earlier, you should regard yourself as completely destitute and rubbish. But that's without God. With God, with what Jesus has done and with his blood, he puts you in a place that's right with him. It's not that anybody in the world is ever considered completely worthless. They're not. They're precious and honored by God. But it's a self-consideration of, without God, I am nothing. And so self-esteem comes from actually who you are in Jesus, not from anything that you do or look like or have thought about. It comes just from knowing Jesus and him being in your life. Hallelujah. So there's some of you here this morning, you do struggle with self-esteem. You feel like you're not good enough. So this morning you need to repent. You need to change your mind and realize you're good enough. You're more than good enough. You don't just have a zero bank balance. You're in the red. You're in a positive balance, which we've changed to red. And there's some, you've been struggling with finances. You need to realize that God doesn't consider poverty or not enough money a blessed state. But you also need to realize that in heaven, every need is provided for. And he provides for you now because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the spiritual reality that is more real than what we see around us. And you need to repent because you've been regarding your circumstances as more real than what heaven is like. And this morning you've got heaven on your side. Hallelujah. At your side, above you, below you, around you. So repent. You've not got to wail. You've just got to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm changing my mind. Forgive me. God is restoring finances of people right now, right around this room. Don't believe the world's economy. You're in the kingdom economy. If you need a job, ask for a job right now because provision is in heaven. Hallelujah. Jobs getting released across this room. If you're willing to pay the cost of getting up in the morning and doing it, there's a job there. Some of you have been looking for jobs for ages. You're desperate for a job. Great. Blessed are those who are desperate, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're desperate for that provision, desperate for that job. It's being released to you right now, right across this room. This week, hallelujah, it's the time for that interview. Change your mind right now. Say, yes, this week. But I've been waiting years and years and years. Yes, but this morning it's being released. This morning you're coming into a different place in Him. This morning you're changing your mind. And finally, for all of us here, there's healing. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in heaven there's no sickness and there's no disease. And if you've got pain in your body this morning or a bad diagnosis from a doctor or a hospital, there's a different diagnosis from heaven today that says you're healed. You're healed, sunshine. Don't listen to that. There's healing for your body here this morning. And one thing I'm just going to do with the healing, if you're one of those persons that needs healing this morning, can I just ask you to raise a hand because we're going to pray for you. Praying is a release from heaven. Can you raise a hand if you want healing this morning? Okay, that's it. Raise it up high. That's good. Now, if other people in the auditorium, just move over to those people and put your hands on them. There's that couple up the back there. There's a young lady here. There's another lady at the back there. Does anybody else want to go up to that couple up at the back there, please? Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand clearly. Okay, now don't start praying yet. Because often we pray ourselves into unbelief. The Word of God says that by His stripes we are healed. So you're just going to speak healing over them. But so that we don't get into a religious mode, I want you just to imagine that heaven is right by your side. And I want you to take hold of a piece of heaven. Literally, you're doing this prophetically. Take hold of a piece of heaven and then place it into their body. And as you do, say, get well in Jesus' name. And that's it. You don't need to keep praying. We shall not be heard for our many words, Jesus said. It's not anything to do with us. It's to do with him. We're just the catalyst or the activation agent. Amen. We're going to worship right now, but before I sign off for the morning, feels like a radio broadcast when I say that. If there's anybody here in the auditorium today and you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never repented, changed your mind, this morning is the right time to do that. Don't miss this opportunity. And as we sing the last song, what I want you to do, I got my friends Brian and Shona here. Come down here, Brian and Shona. This is Brian and Shona. Yeah, they're nice people. Hallelujah. They're good friends of mine, but they're going to just be down here. And as we sing this last song, if you know you need this kingdom of heaven in your life and you've never made a public response, you've never publicly repented in this way, then you need to get down the front. If you step off the stage so they can just come along the front, then as we sing this song, come down the front and speak to Brian and Shona, and I'll show you how to say yes to Jesus and how to come into this kingdom of heaven life that is for you, that Jesus died to give you. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great cup of coffee. Hallelujah. We'll see you soon. Let's go into a song.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.